Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is Summer Sessions. This is episode 55 of Summer Sessions, man. Damien's not here today. He's working, but Flows will be joining us momentarily. He is taking care of his business right now. I'm just going to leave it at that. He will be joining us on the podcast very soon. But as usual, I'm your host, Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChestScott. You can follow me at Instagram, too. My Instagram is back off private, back in the streets. So you can follow me.
Stop tweaking.
Yeah.
I said you finally stopped tweaking with the private Instagram.
Yeah, well, I only really had it for like a week. Then I was like, it was a block function. But I was like, yeah, Lotto was like, nigga, why you got your shit on private? Nigga, I told you tell your shit. I was like, all right, bro, I heard you. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChestScott, man. We've got a young Pat Vito in the building. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at PavyWorld. Go patverbs.com right now. Keep streaming. Letter to My Exes. We like a 60K on Spotify. Keep streaming that. Keep streaming his current single, Soft Lips. We got a video for Letter to My Exes. Drop us on. Look out for that. Songs about women coming very, very, very soon. So patverbs.com. Go there right now, man. So we are back. We are here. We have not had the regular pod in about 2 weeks. Last week was we had scheduling issues. But we are back. Valentine's Day was this weekend. Me and Pat were talking about before we come on. There was a lot of big reveals on the gram this week.
I just feel like the energy in the air was just different. Like I said, bro, like, I don't know if it's because obviously the year that we've had and everybody, you know, wants to obviously you've been in probably inside with your girl more you know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's because of like the year we had, but it felt like just one big ass contest, bro. All over IG. I'm like, gee, what is going on, bro? Gee, I didn't see hella the fucking Lori Harvey shit, G.
Oh, man.
I just see so much. Like, bro, why are we making think pieces about this?
First of all, what people got to understand, I've never heard Lori Harvey anything be uttered out of her mouth outside of laughs.
I've never heard her talk.
I have a Hollywood conspiracy theory on that I'll get into in a minute. But you got to understand that she don't date broke niggas, right? That's I feel her. Her stepdaddy is Steve Harvey. That's her daddy. Like, basically, when he got married to her mama, she was very, very young. So, that's her daddy. So, anyway, her daddy's Steve Harvey. You know, her mother is one of the, what's the word I can use here?
I'm crying. Elite. I don't know who her mother is, though.
Elite bag chasers from the women's division of all time. So, she knows not to just fuck around with broke-ass niggas. So, you know, she's dealt with the guy. So when somebody saw the pitch, I guess it started with Michael B. Jordan had all these flowers and petals and all that. Like, what you got to understand is my nigga Wallace is worth $30 million, okay?
Gee, somebody said he did the small gesture of renting out a fucking aquarium because her favorite animal was a turtle. Nigga, a small gesture.
For
nigga.
Michael B. Jordan, that's a small gesture.
Nigga, for any
for
other
Michael human B. Jordan, being, that's a small gesture.
For any other human being, that is.
He has Sylvester Stallone in his phone. He can call that nigga.
Facts.
Like, Sly, what's good, bro? I just want to give a shout out to Michael B. Jordan. He's one of the coolest celebrities I've met. So I always get to, if I can make a joke with a celebrity, which I rarely do, I just caught that nigga like in a good mood one day and I caught that nigga Wallace. And nigga was laughing. And so when I saw him the second time, he dabbed me up. So I mean, shout out to Michael B. Jordan. He's a cool nigga. But yeah, for him doing shit like shutting down a fucking, you know, place like that, it don't fucking matter. Like, he Light probably works. Spent maybe 25, 50 racks on the whole night.
He got
that
it.
Ain't shit.
He good for it, G. Creed out right now.
Two Creeds out. Not only two Creeds out, he's working on Creed 3, which he's writing and directing.
Bags.
Writing and directing with Ryan Coogler. So that's a bag.
More than to talk about with Creed. Like, how are we getting to three Creed?
And he got the Disney bag. Once you got the Disney bag, there's gonna be more projects coming. We don't know if this nigga's officially dead. You know, in Marvel movies, they bring everybody back. That nigga might be fucking around and be in Black Panther 2.
He was in Black Panther, especially now. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, with Chadwick not being
there, now.
Yeah, you probably gotta beef up that storyline a little bit. So that nigga's fine. That nigga's good. Like, he doesn't mind spending that on whatever. And honestly, you know, I think it really comes back to this. And what we're seeing from Valentine's Day this weekend is from men and women is there's a lot of negativity out there, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of negativity out there. Let whatever the nigga want to do for his woman do it. Some of y'all women out there acting like you don't need a nigga. And shout out to women saying, y'all might not need a nigga, but I do. I appreciate the honesty. You know what I'm saying? Stop acting like you. We need y'all. Y'all need us.
You know, we're a team.
God
bro.
Put us on this earth at the same time. Now, whether or not y'all brought sin into this world by biting the apple the first, it's a different conversation for a different day. But God brought us here at the same time. We need what's called the man. What's called the woman was made from the man. That's what's what real. I say the womb, man. That's where it came from. We need each other.
Shout out Kyrie, man.
Did you see Kyrie's IG story this morning?
I didn't.
He's like, good morning, brothers and sisters. Hope y'all have an amazing day today. Who, you know, hope you really saying your prayers to the man above, whether it's Jesus or whoever you pray to, make sure you stay prayed up, brothers. I was like, and this nigga had like a dashiki on and shit. I should have known he was going to drop 50, by the way.
And proceeded to go out there and get the Kings 40.
You're right. The way that nigga was ready, you know what I'm saying? But there was a lot of couples. I was like, damn, you got a nigga? All weekend it was like reveals,
people was getting proposed to.
Yeah,
like I'm just, the energy in the air surrounding it was just I even feel like the anticipation waiting up to Valentine's Day was just different.
It felt a little different than usual.
it felt like an actual holiday this year. Usually Valentine's Day just like a day that's come on the 14th.
Yeah,
take the girl out. That yeah. Shit felt like, I'm like, bro, what's going on?
You know,
on?
Last year, nobody really talked about it. It was All-Star Weekend.
All-Star Weekend. So I don't even remember what happened. Oh, yeah.
By the way, I saw them archive updates on my Instagram. And I got depressed.
By the way, that's also the thing. Usually, Valentine's Day is during All-Star Weekend.
And niggas All-Star, actually so able to go to All-Star Weekend.
Niggas either going or niggas is in the crib. And niggas got something taking their mind off. Just that, but it felt like the energy surrounding it was just different. I'm like, bro, what's going on?
it was a couple of women. I was like, okay, I didn't know. I have to unfollow you now.
Like, I saw single women legit bitter, like actually sad.
I mean,
but like
new though.
No, but like leading up to the day of Valentine's Day, sad.
We have flows.
Shut up, nigga. Shut up, all y'all.
Are you done handling your business, sir?
Yeah, I'm on Call of Duty right now, though. So let's wrap this up.
As usual, man, you know where to follow Flows at, Flows and Lenny on Twitter and Instagram. Before you came in here, we were talking about how the energy kind of changed this weekend with Valentine's Day, how there's a lot more couple reveals.
Yeah, it was really off. But you know, the funny thing is, this sounds really terrible and it's not going to last. The pandemic has made it a lot easier for these couples to find one another, which you think that would be the opposite, because niggas can't go outside, but that's what happens. They go on a little cute date, and then they spend time at the homes with one another. And so, you know, they chilling. You know what I'm saying? The vibes is cool when you ain't got to go nowhere. But when niggas get let back out, we'll see. So, I mean,
that's the thing I wanted to talk about, too. When the streets get let back in, I'm expecting for this summer to go crazy, by the way. If you're an artist right now, get your post vacuum tunes ready, because we've been waiting for a song in the summer for about 2 years. So y'all need to have, if you're an artist right now, your job, have tunes on deck. Because I expect, first of all, niggas who don't take the vaccine going to be out any goddamn way. And niggas who do take the vaccine, we going to be out. So it's going to be collective of mogs out. So have your records on deck. So here's the question I wanted to ask. So when the streets really get let go, I think we're going to have a summer this year. How many of these relationships going to, are women going, or niggas going to be like, yo, I'm back in the streets. Are women going to be like, I don't want to be tied down with a nigga. I need to be out here, shake my ass, because I ain't shaking my ass in about a year. What's going to go down?
Brother, the women can do what they please, brother.
I'm not saying, okay.
You don't involve yourself in women business.
Yeah, I mean, when everything is, again, like I expect for at least 2 to 3 years, once everybody can go outside, for it to be wild for 2 to 3 years. Okay. Niggas is going to be outside consistently. Like people, any event, people are going. All those trips, people are going. So it'll be very interesting. Now, again, I think some of these relationships, maybe, you know, maybe you take trips together. But also there was like an adverse effect from like the pandemic, where other people who, let's say you were always out with your girl, and now you got to stay in the house with her. And a lot of people broke up because of that.
That's true.
So, I mean, we'll see. I think it just depends on the person and, you know, who you are. And also, how did you bond? Like, yeah. What did you bond under? Like, did you bond under the right things, or did you bond over trauma or boredom?
That's a good point.
Trauma over just the experience?
Because, you know, some people, like, I was just a very tough time. So, you know, things have happened to people. So it's like, did y'all like bond?
Drake, you said that Drake says tough times for people right now.
No, but for real, like, maybe you bonded over your sadness. And then, like, when everybody, you know, hopefully you get on and you move on and you're a better person. You bonded over that. You bonded, but maybe that's not for the right reasons. Like, y'all bonded to just help y'all get past this moment. Y'all both found each other in a broken place. And helped found y'all way out of it.
Found love in a hopeless,
place. And now you have more hope. And now, okay.
And that's so we'll a good see. Thing. I feel like a lot of people have spun the block during the pandemic, too. Like, all right, let me go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They definitely went back to the exes. Let's
get this old thing back.
Or they old moves.
I got a phrase. Remember what did AB say? No white women 2020? No exes 2021. That's my
name. That man said he lied, though.
Yeah, well, we know he lied. No, we saw who was with him at the Super Bowl, niggas. Obviously, he lied.
Who was with him at the Super Bowl?
His woman is the caucus white persuasion.
It's from the mountains of caucus. Yeah, yeah. She's definitely a white woman.
Off subject, the mountain of Yakub.
Off subject, AB, a whole lot of money with Rick Ross, one of the best songs ever.
I never heard that song to Tom Brady put on.
It is not.
Song's incredible, G.
It is not.
I was like, hold up. I was like, first of all, AB has a song wrong. Second, Brady knows how many times he plays in the locker
room. Enough to annoy him.
That nigga Brady was like, throw it up, Twan. That nigga was so fucking smacked. Did you see the Lombardi lady? She didn't sleep for two nights because Brady was throwing the trash off. He should apologize. Why nobody apologize for shit? Fuck your granddaddy.
Wait, she literally said he should.
Yeah, she was apologize. Like, some said that, you know, how much work is put into making that trophy and he disrespected the trophy. And
but it's a new one. You know, the funny thing is
they make a new one every. Actually, the one that they actually get at the game is not the one they keep.
I would assume not.
They give you another one to put in your trophy case at your team facility.
So it's a new one every year. It's not like the Stanley Cup, and the Stanley Cup has been defiled.
I was about to say that. Have you know what happens with the Stanley Cup?
Niggas drink out of it, eat out of it, a baby done shit in it. It's just not they really have to disinfect that thing.
They do it all the time. First of all, Stanley Cup was always disgusting. But during a pandemic, I'm like, niggas be drinking champagne out this bitch and shit. Like,
which is gross. Like, I get that it's disinfected, but that's not enough.
I mean, niggas do wild shit to trophies anyways. You like, you'll have a whole team kissing the trophy at the same damn time. Like, bro, what y'all on when you think about it?
They don't even let you keep, like, whoever wins the Stanley Cup, you get to keep it for the summer. Like, you don't, like, if you go to the Blackhawks Champions City, you're not going to see Stanley Cups lined up. Like, if you go to the Bulls City, you see all the Larry O'Brien trophies. Because they don't get to keep it. No, they don't give you a replica. No, it's literally just one cup, nigga. You just get your little banner, and y'all get y'all rings.
I mean, I guess that's a, you know, way to keep it going.
Yeah, it's tradition or whatever. It's one cup.
The way to keep it going.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not like Lombardi. If I you know, who you think, if I had to rank the four trophies, I think the MLB got the weakest trophy.
What is the MLB trophy?
The World Series. Like, it's the commissioner's trophy. It's like the trophy with all them flags on it.
Oh.
It's the weakest one. To me, the NBA has the best trophy. It's something about that gold ball that just look cold.
It does look good. I will give you that.
Like, I hope they never change that trophy.
They're not changing that trophy. I would assume that they wouldn't change.
I'm glad they changed the NBA Finals trophy. The NBA, the original one was trash.
There was a one was before.
Old. Remember the old one before they changed it? Like, they changed it when, who got the new one? I think it was Tony Parker got the new one. They changed like 07 or 08. Remember, it used to be that black one, the black with the gold ball and Shaq and them.
Nah, bro. Nah.
Oh, that was tough.
Nah. Wasn't that the Finals
MVP? That was the Finals MVP.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Finals MVP. They changed that one?
Yeah, they changed the Finals MVP. Remember the
silver and gold now.
Yeah, the silver and gold one is new. Like that, they put that. I think
no idea.
Paul Pierce
was Kobe the first person with that. Was Paul Pierce?
I think it was Tony Parker or Paul Pierce the first one who got that one.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, that's a lot. Dwayne Wade was the first one who got it. Dwayne Wade.
Oh yeah,
2000. Because Wade. They changed the name, right? Because at first it was just the like most valuable award.
Then they made the Bill Russell. Trophy.
Yeah, the Bill Russell Award. That definitely was a different one.
They gotta change the NBA title name.
The Larry O'Brien? No.
No. Change it.
The Kobe title?
No.
Somebody that's the All Star MVP.
Yeah.
Change it to the Jordan title, bro. You can't use Bill Russell because honestly, I would have used Bill Russell because he's won so many of them. But I don't like who. What random person would know who Larry O'Brien is?
Mike does have the most NBA Finals trophies.
No, Larry, I'm freaking. You talking about as a player?
Yeah.
Bill Russell has it.
Bill Russell got
11, nigga.
He ain't got. He ain't win Finals MVP.
Oh, MVP.
No, I'm talking about Finals trophies. Finals.
Oh, who has the most NBA championships?
Yeah,
Bill Russell.
He has 8 right as a player, right?
Yeah,
11.
Yeah, no,
that's player as a coach. That's
yeah, but he was player coach though. He was never just a full coach.
Man, it don't count. Whatever. Them niggas was plumbers.
I told you too. I don't count anything before Kareem got in the league.
Nah, G.
But you, Michael Jordan does hold the record for the most Finals MVPs though.
That's fair. Cause I think, yeah, cause the award got. I think the first year the award was 1971. Because Jerry West got it, even though they lost. I think it was 71.
Which might should never happen. You can't be final. Well,
yeah, the loser shouldn't be Finals MVP.
It was, you gotta do something crazy.
I think he averaged like 40 or something like that.
I feel like that bullshit debate started when LeBron was cooking the Warriors in 2015. And by the way, I still think Steph should have been Finals MVP. If Iguodala stopped LeBron to 41 points per game.
Nah, if you go back and watch that series, like Iggy really did have key moments when the series could have went either way.
Yeah, but I wouldn't give him Finals MVP. Like, this nigga Steph, whole ass average like 26 points.
Yeah, but it just wasn't that. It just was like, okay. And the things that you remember, if you like go back and watch that series, bro, I think they was down 2-1, and then they put Iggy in the lineup. Iggy had like 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. They going to win the rest of the series.
I still wouldn't give it to him just because he held LeBron to, 30 or 40 points
per game. No, it was 30 way, but hold on. He did shoot 38% from the field.
Okay, wow.
That's damn good defense.
LeBron was out there cooking them niggas, man. LeBron took 2 games from them niggas, man. Just off the strength. I'm not giving that to
they should have won that Iggy series.
No, they shouldn't have.
We could have won that series.
I feel like if Kyrie played, I think for sure go 7.
They could have won that series without Kyrie. Bron was shooting a lot of bullshit.
Remember how you said that the 3-1 Thunder they just caught the Holy Ghost wrong? They caught the Holy Ghost in 2 games, bro. That's really all that was. Dele was playing like he shouldn't have been playing.
Tim and that's they helped get like 31 games.
Man, nobody talks about Steph worked that nigga out so bad he had to go to the fucking emergency room.
No. He worked that nigga out the game after he came back from the ER. Because he played
that. What game
minutes.
He had to get one? What, game 5?
Game 4.
That nigga. Okay.
No. Game, I think game 4 was 2-2. After game 3, because he played like 44 minutes chasing that nigga around the court. He went to get an IV. Then game 4, he got cooked for 37.
He got his ass cooked. But and you can make a what if. That's the thing about Warriors Cavaliers. I feel like we never got the appropriate series we should have got.
Never. But yeah, never.
Because I my hot take, I feel like the 2017 Cavs are better than the championship team.
They were. Their defense was just worse, I think. Like a lot worse. But offensively, they were.
Because you can say, oh, if Kyrie would have played, I also, if Draymond don't get suspended, that shit's over in game 5.
This is true.
So that's what you can really say about either one of them. But, yeah, man, what were we talking about with Valentine's? We just went to a whole little hoops.
We went to a whole different
hoops and brews conversation.
But yeah, Valentine's Day, you like
niggas, Valentine's niggas, Day, man. This is just look, man.
Shit was different.
Everybody's like, and then all the posts and then the shit they had me down was the sincere post where they were like, it's all the single people out there. If you don't have somebody, order your best food, love yourself, love.
Galentine's Day.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Sweetie. Sweetie has awesome management or whatever. Her marketing is great.
What did she do?
Like she was getting like a face, not FaceTime, but like IG Live with like random women and like sending them Valentine's Day shit.
That's dope.
Like she has a good team around her. You couldn't pay me. You can put a gun in my head, die or listen to a Sweetie song. You have to pull the damn bullet. But
gee, Sweetie got records, G.
No.
She got two. Sweetie, my type is Heat. My type is Heat, G.
I'm not, you like my type because of that fucking
Too short sample. My type is he, and I think it's the Pretty Bitch freestyle she got when she sampled Whoa. That's decent.
Now, if Sweetie was my woman, I'd be listening to shit every goddamn day. I'd be like Quavo, like, yeah, she be getting off, nigga. She cold.
Who are your favorite female rappers currently?
That's problematic.
How?
I couldn't give you a top 5. No.
But be honest with your woman. Tell her it's trash.
I'm not telling my woman who makes a lot of money off of shit that shit is trash.
No, I'm saying if.
Maybe he likes some music. And if I had Sweetie give me ass every day, I'm gonna be a lying motherfucker. If I think it's trash, I'm not finna fuck that up.
My girl made music and it was trash, I tell it was trash. But then again, I'm not a good measure of what's good or not. People are weird.
Look, man, if I was fucking Sweetie, I'd be like, yes.
Her music isn't that bad though. Like she actually has decent records. She not like barring you up, but she actually has decent vibe records.
Man, I don't know what's
out. If we go out to the club, G, she got like,
I don't know what the club sounds like anymore. The club is foreign to me. Freestyle,
decent, and then I haven't heard the Back to the Streets record, but women like it, so I'm assuming it's good.
Just because women don't like it, don't mean it's good.
I mean,
women like a lot of bullshit too.
I mean, it serves a purpose.
But to answer your question, I can't give you five women rappers. I only know two of them.
Cool, Cardi and Nicki.
Well, that's three then. If we not count Nicki. Oh, Nicki's like. Include Nicki in women's conversations, like include Jay-Z in current rap discussions.
That's
like,
fair.
Nicki is up here. Nicki's in the Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott.
This is true.
Family right there. You know what I'm saying? You notice I didn't say Foxy Brown and Lauryn Hill. She's in the Lil' Kim, Missy. Niggas who actually have more than one project. Thing in it. Like, we have to
put Foxy got more than one project.
Who?
Foxy got more than one project.
You ain't never listened to anything that didn't have Brooklyn Anthem on there, bro.
Nah, nigga, fucking the first album is better than that.
Let me look at Foxy's discography.
I'll be Get You Home.
Let's be real. You only like that song because that sample because of Jay-Z.
Okay, but no, actually,
let's keep it all the way funky.
No, Foxy had bars. And
I ain't never said Foxy couldn't rap. Yeah, Foxy can rap with ass off.
I fuck with it.
So you like Ill Nah Nah and Broken Silence, only good album she got, bro.
Okay, that's fair.
Only two, so but Nicki got like two or three, bro. Nicki got what, three?
I think Nicki put out four albums.
Let me see. I'm talking about ones that were good. Hold on,
Nicki Pink Friday was heat.
Yeah, I fucked with Pink. Decent. Pink Friday.
I'll be honest, there is not a female rapper who I've ever
my favorite female rapper is listened to. Lil Kim.
You know, I take that back, Lil Kim. That's right.
I fuck with hardcore. Third, my favorite.
Thoroughly love hardcore.
Second album.
I like Nicki more than Kim.
It's, for me, it's. I don't know.
Nicki writes her bars, unlike Kim, but whatever.
That's true.
Does Nicki write her bars? Because allegedly Safari was writing some of them bars.
Okay, yeah, but I guarantee Nicki's wrote more of her bars than Lil' Kim has.
I agree with that, yes.
Like that, if you like hardcore, you like Biggie. Let's just keep it all the way funky. If you like hardcore, you like Biggie. That's really all that was. Yeah, so I put Nicki in there, but to answer...
Now, how you feel about Steph Curry being amazing right now, bro? Does it hurt your soul?
No, he actually don't care. He like how that nigga playing right now.
Yeah, I actually love the way Steph's playing
now. He says it's not huffball to him.
It's not. I love it.
He's not.
This
is back-to-back games where he's taking 13.
He's not like 2016. Yeah, his shots are better. He's shooting more mid-range.
Yeah. It's like usually when Usually when Steph wild out now is because you actually just let him do that. It's like you probably played bad defense or he took the shots the defense gave him. Before, this nigga used to just shoot from 40 because he could. What you own, bro?
But to answer your question, only current female rappers I actually heard music from, Sweetie, obviously Cardi B. I'm missing somebody here.
Now there's Sweetie, there's Meg, there's Cardi, there's
you just name all three of the women I just
know. Listen, there's Flo Milli. I fuck with Flo Milli. She got some joints I fuck with. Ruby Rose got actually one of my favorite records right now. I just like how Ruby Rose
looks on Instagram.
No, but she has a song with Future and Party Next Door that I really, really like. It's called Whole Lot of Liquor. It's probably one of my favorite joints right now. And like I love Ruby's rap voice. Like she actually sounds different than the rest of them because her voice is really deep. There's Mulatto, which I only heard like two Mulatto verses. I'm not about to be out playing Mad Mulatto, but nah, it's some decent. But
yeah, is she actually black and white?
Yeah, she is.
I'm assuming she's black and white.
Yeah, she is.
Why do you have an issue with that name?
Because it's not politically correct. It's like I just got done. Look, I just got done watching that Curb episode where this nigga Larry went to like a baby shower, but it was a baby shower for a surrogate. And so they was
what?
A surrogate, something like
surrogate,
a surrogate. So he gave him like
surrogate. No, nigga, pronounce it correctly.
You know what I'm talking about? Surrogate.
What sounds so like a prop?
He gave surrogate like a mixed baby dog. And she was like, oh, this is from the Davis. He's like, yeah, it's a mulatto. Everybody looked at his ass like, we say biracial there. He's like, oh, biracial. Okay. So it's not politically correct.
If you say mulatto, you must be over the age of like 70.
Yes, I say it just because it's funny.
Because my grandma actually literally says mulatto still.
Your grandma said the El Rukins too. Wow. El Rukins. That's throwback.
The El Rukins, nigga.
The El Rukins is throwback. But I think that's a good space for, I think right now that's probably the best space for women's rappers. Because for a long time, it was just like Nicki. And like Nicki basically, remember she went BET Best Female Rap? That was like a lifetime achievement or whatever.
Year. Every year, bro. She
they be nominating people we ain't never heard of, niggas who was in cyphers and shit.
Nominating Rhapsody. Now, look, shout out Rhapsody. She could bar up, but Rhapsody, Nicki.
Yeah, I'm not listening to no Rhapsody, bro.
Nicki and was Huff. Let's just be.
You said what?
Nicki was Huff.
Nicki was not Huff, Gene.
Just could not get into it. It's that imitation voice thing that I hate. I'm like, I'm on that.
Unless she got songs where she not talking. Yeah,
of course she does.
But still, the biggest myth on planet Earth is that she had the best verse on Monster.
She didn't. Jay-Z did.
Jay-Z definitely had the best verse on Monster.
Jay-Z has all the...
You know what I think about today? We let Kanye get away with a lot of bullshit.
He's not
there. Yeah, and that's why when y'all started saying later on he got weak, I'm like, huh? A lot of them bars wasn't hard.
Look, man,
a lot of them bars were not hard.
I never looked at Kanye as a lyricist, but I didn't. His beats and the hooks were so good that we ignored a lot of the bullshit he was saying. So many aunties, we can have an auntie team.
Mayonnaise color bends, I push Miracle Whips is a fire line.
Yeah, in
2003.
In 2003, that's a bar. Now, get the fuck out of here. But in 2003, that was a bar. You know what I'm saying? But we let Ye get, I'm trying to think, there's a...
There's so many Ye lines that were corny, bro. Like that's why when niggas got mad at the clothes on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A bar. I'm like, gee, that's Pete Kanye. That's classic Pete Kanye. That's Pete Kanye, bro.
It's Pete Kanye. 15
years ago, why don't you dislike? Why do you dislike that bar?
You know, I think a lot of people just don't like Kanye because he's with the Kardashians.
That's fair.
Everybody be like, look, I don't care that he wore the MAGA hat. You know, my beef with Kanye is he ain't made a song, an album I liked in over a decade. That's my beef with Kanye.
You ain't like the Life of Pablo.
He had like three songs on there, but them three songs I liked wasn't because of him. It was because of the beat or Chris Brown. Let's be real. Waves? What's so called?
Waves don't die. Huh? The beat and like the hook was it.
I ain't like what?
Like Father, so you ain't like Father...
God, no.
Stretch my hands? Yeah. Once, look. It for 50 nice. Seconds, that's one of the greatest songs ever. Once this nigga starts rapping, I turn that shit on.
Talking about the bleach in my asshole, bro. That's peak Kanye though.
When Kid Cudi stops,
and
you just hear this nigga rapping, I'm done.
I disagree with the take that he couldn't rap. I disagree.
Because I didn't say he couldn't rap.
Saying his bars were never bad, like until a certain time, because Late Registration Kanye had some bars.
Yeah, he got better on there, but I'm saying like he still.
No, I mean like he was spitting some phenomenal.
Nah, I would never say that Kanye ever spit.
Diamonds has some of the coldest bars in it, G.
He did. Okay. I mean, yeah, but like even now, like Ye will still have a bar. For instance, on the Yikes song, he said hospital bed 100 bands, fuck a watch. Like that shit's a fucking bar. He still has bars.
I will say the Life of Pablo does have two of the last good Kanye songs though.
Okay, relax.
Real Friends. That flows like vintage Kanye, and nothing that Ty Dolla does feature wise is garbage. And 30 Hours is like old Kanye.
You ain't like none of the records on the Jesus album.
I didn't even listen to the Jesus.
I'm gonna tell you, Jesus King has decent joints.
I found out he made that in Montana, and I was like, I want no part of it.
Clothes on Sunday was good. Everything We Need was good, and Water was good. Kanye still got joints on every album. It just like, shit. You don't like Cudi, so I ain't even gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, I didn't like Cudi because I had self esteem in college.
That's a very problematic take.
that's why I didn't listen. You listen, anybody you talk about how much they love Cudi, them niggas was going through some shit.
I fucked with Cudi 09.
He made it feel okay to be weird.
Yeah, you don't count. You just like good music. Like that's because you weren't. I knew you. When Cudi came out, you weren't depressed or anything. This niggas ain't like, I was slitting my wrist to Cudi.
Oh, wow. I'm editing this out.
No, we're not.
Slitting my wrist to Cudi.
No, we're not. We're not. I'm just saying.
I'm finna bring up what I edited out last time, bro.
First of all, y'all niggas was mad instigating. in that last episode.
I thought you was
no,
on that.
No, nigga. No,
I didn't
I was
know.
Not.
What I was supposed to know. I thought you was on that.
That G. was hilarious.
I thought that was your move, G.
No, it was not, brother. Not at all. I'm offended. Y'all think that would be my move. But before we venture off,
Joe about to go
else.
Back to it. Joe was about to come back to it. I know.
No,
I'm gonna leave it alone.
Yeah, you play your little Call of Duty, nigga. Leave that alone. But
I would be focusing 100% if I didn't have money on this game.
Oh, I know you got money on this game.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of money, where the fuck is my air fryer?
That's coming, bro.
Well, you've been saying it's been coming for 2.5 weeks.
I hadn't actually ordered it yet.
Yeah, I know you haven't.
Yeah, but I'm literally will have it to you next week.
All right, I'm gonna track your ass, nigga.
I know you didn't just go try to pull
a freaking Debo on me midair. I am your brother. I will kill you.
Give a shit, nigga.
Wait, you playing Call of? Oh, by the way, also you lying, Fade. G. Fade was he?
Okay, that was the.
I feel it.
I don't know. Yeah, the little house.
That shit.
House, yeah. I can feel it. Yeah, that shit was it.
Fire.
Fade
fire.
Was he? No more parts of L.A. You
I didn't like
Kendrick
no
loving ass ain't like that.
No, I don't like Kendrick features.
Kendrick features tend to be trash. That was okay.
Like Kendrick, that's Kendrick's Achilles heel. Like every feature I'm trying. That's very rarely if I.
What's
heard,
your favorite Kendrick feature?
That's okay. My favorite Kendrick feature is probably
Mask Off.
I really
nigga
huh?
No
no hell no he
nigga,
ruined that
no.
Shit.
I thoroughly enjoy.
Shut the fuck up. No, my favorite Kendrick feature is fucking problem.
Like Pedro, many chief them tall.
That's fair. I'll probably say I. You know what? I actually liked his verse on the Miguel record. The How Many Drinks? I fuck with his verse on there.
Nigga, that song would get think.
Oh yeah,
hell.
Get you clean out of here
that
now.
Nigga, that nigga dropped that record 2 years early. 2 years in time. I said there's Ferguson and there's pre-Ferguson on Twitter. Like
no,
we had fun no. On Twitter till Ferguson happened.
Wow. First of all, it's terrible to say that, but
it is terrible to say that way. When Ferguson came, everybody wanted to become deep. Everybody, you know, there's no more tolerance. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. So yeah, he that record came out like 2012.
I think it came out 2011, actually.
No, it was a couple months before. No, it was 2012. It was a couple months before Good Kid came out. Because Kendrick was still rocking whack fits. So this was definitely too before he got a good stylist. Yeah, that's kids like Nick. If you go back and listen to Power Circle, I'm like, nigga, shut up.
Okay, now to be fair, he did cook them niggas on Power Circle.
He cooked
but,
them, but Gunplay got the best verse.
Gee, no, the best
it's
part
all
of the song.
On me, yeah.
The best part of the song is
if Michael bro, Jackson was alive right now, he'd take the smoke room.
Gee, what, bro?
So in his honor. I was like, Ross, the fuck are you talking about? You know the best thing about Ross? When we met this nigga, I was really hoping that this nigga was still in character.
The exact same.
The whole time this nigga, Pat, I've never seen Pat be shook to meet a celebrity until we met Ross.
No, like Ross.
I was like, nigga, you right? No, I'm not.
Nah, G, it's like niggas gotta understand what Ross meant to me, G. like as far as rappers I've stolen the most from, Drake, Dom, Kennedy, Ross.
Dom Kennedy is so surprising to me that you.
And
like
you
that.
Met Dom Kennedy. You met Dom in a CVS.
I did. I literally met Dom. G is so funny. I met Dom going to CVS. He coming out of CVS with a bottle of Vuv. I'm like, oh shit, Dom, what's good, G? But nah, those are the three rappers I've stolen the most from. But Ross was like a fucking era. Like that Ross run from like. I fucked with early Ross, as in like deeper than rap Ross, but that Ross run from I want to like 2009 to like 2015. Was something different.
Oh, he was on the run. Nigga, 2011, I'll give him the title, bro. 2011, he had him and Drake were like the, if this was wrestling, one had the WWE title, the other had the World Heavyweight title.
When did Teflon Don drop? Was that, I thought that was
2010. But I'm talking about 2011 when he was on everything, nigga. When that nigga MMG was popping stuff, man, one was out. I'm on one, nigga. I'm on one summer was crazy.
By the way, I love I like the first two MMG albums are incredible.
Yeah, they got lazy on part three.
Yeah, in part three, but the first two MMG albums are great. Fountain of Youth was incredible. 600 Benz was dope. Pac-Man was dope.
600 Benz.
What else was on that first album? This shit with Jeremiah, That Way, the Wale record.
Nigga, they had so many. They had so much heat out there.
They had joints. Pandemonium was on there.
Pandemonium. That's when Ambition album came out.
When Every Girl was
Ambitious
Girl.
No. Remember everybody was East African Girl when Poetic Justice came out? Oh my God, I had a dollar every time I saw that on somebody's fucking Twitter bio. I was like, shut the fuck up. No, you are not.
Nigga, you from goddamn 79th.
You are from Cleveland, Ohio.
Nigga, you from Indiana. Some of us from East African.
East African, girl. Get the fuck East out African. Of here, man. The fact that was 10 years ago.
Bro, crazy. Still now, when I think like 10 years ago, I think like 2002. Like, nigga, no.
Nigga, that was 20 years ago, nigga.
Like, no. 10 years ago was literally 2011. Crazy.
2000, yeah, like there's people out here who are like, who kids out here were reading about 9/11 in books, and it's like, nigga, I remember that day.
Gee, it's nigga, if you 20 years old, you was born in 2000.
Yeah.
This year, I walked in the gas station, bro, and you know how they got the ages for you to buy, you know, cigarettes and stuff, and now they moved it up to 21. That shit said, if you were born on February 13th, 2000, I'm like, nigga, you were born on what day?
Bro, I was 12 years old. 21
years old now? Gee, what, bro? I'm
fucking 12, bro. That shit's
crazy.
Fucking, like, even if you, like, I seen somebody the other day, like, somebody was like, oh, I was 13 singing in Marvin's Room, not noticing how nasty that song was. I'm like, 13, nigga?
Bro, how was you 13?
I was like, Marvin's Room, G. Almost 23. Like, what the fuck?
Like, I lived that song. I was able to actually do that song when it dropped.
That's a nasty record.
No, man. You fucked with that song.
I never. You keep. I never fucked with that song. I never fucked with that song, bro. I've never dirty Mac that hard. I've never told a woman on the phone.
I didn't say you told
fuck
him,
that nigga.
I didn't say you told him, but
now we're talking about from a songwriting aspect. I think it's a great song. From we're just talking about how the song is. The content is nasty, but it's a great song. Like, the video was very relatable. We've all been to the bar. And just first of all, I have a theory that if you go to the bar by yourself, you had a long-ass day. I've only been to the bar by myself, like, twice. And both of them were very long days.
Was you at Rocco's for happy hour, Dolo?
No. I went one night, nigga. I got fired from FedEx, nigga. I went to fucking Rocco's, like, 10, nigga, by myself.
Just had a couple.
Nigga, I just pounded a couple hennies, nigga. I was just like, damn, what the fuck? Like, that's the only time, right?
No, I feel like if you go to the bar by yourself at night.
Looking like a liquor video.
You had a long ass day at night. Now, if you go for happy hour or something, maybe niggas want some happy hour food. But if you go at night, you had a very long day. If you did 10:30 with a goddamn tequila on the rocks.
I definitely would go to like a bar like for happy hour, like doing work, but like I can only have like one or two beers, like enough to where I can somebody can't be like, oh nigga, you was drinking. Like, and nobody run into like coworkers and shit. So I would like go to the one on like the other side on Santa Monica, not somewhere walking distance from Amazon. Don't like come up and they're like, oh Scott, how you doing, man? Like I ain't had time for that shit. I went to one work function and I knew I was never going to a work function with any of my coworkers again. Like, them niggas, big rapey vibes, bro. You know, them white boys, boy. Them niggas, like, gee, we was at this, I don't know the name of this brewery. It's a brewery, like, in Santa Monica. And it's, like, walking distance from Amazon. Like, it's, because anybody know, Amazon Studios is, like, on the same block, kind of, as Universal, Interscope, all them niggas, like, in the same, Def Jam, all in the same building. So there's, like, a brewery. Once you walk past, it's like the DMV's on one side and Universal on the other. Once you get past, there's a brewery over there. So we all decided one day, and I used to get invited to these shits all the time, but I just never went. But that one day, I was like, fuck it, I'll go. So I was like, bro, we gonna go to the bar. It's gonna be a couple of us. So we all went. And there was a couple people from work, a couple women, and then like this one chick, she was bad too, but she was like, man, I invited her. I always wanted to bang her, bro. I so want to bang her. He said, bro. He said, I have two more shots. I'll put my dick all in her mouth, bro. Right now, bro. I'm like, look, man, where's my tab, bro? I'm the only nigga here. I'm getting the fuck up out of here, bro. Like, them niggas was big tripping, bro. And then they come to work the next day. Hey, man, how you doing? Like, nothing happened. Like, them like, niggas, we, I mean, one time we got an invite for every holiday party. It'd be like, oh, we got a party bus that's going to take us from the job. So I'm like, nope, I will see you niggas there, bro. I ain't getting no damn work party bus, nigga.
Yeah, you white people different. They was probably frat boys in high school. Not high school, college.
You know,
niggas ain't, and beers and shit.
Niggas ain't worked a day in their lives. They got this because they uncle knew somebody who went to college with somebody else.
Yeah,
so we're gonna start you at this lower position of vice president.
You're drinking beers out of kegs.
That's actually a good thing, good segue I wanted to make about what? Black people and like their.
Oh, let me get some wine real quick.
here go this nigga.
Black people and their hate of black people who get money. Here's my thing, man. I feel like black people have like a love hate relationship with like capitalism. And as I am saying this, Pavi is not here. Pavi is going to fill his wine. And my brother just put his fucking picture on mute with his phone, with his microphone on mute. These niggas have left me out here to dry as usual. So I'm going to wait for these niggas to come back before I get my takeoff. Both of these niggas just like disappeared. So in the meantime, I'm going to promote. You can go to patreon.com right now. Patreon.com/barbershare network. Subscribe, people. And now Pav is back, so I can say what I'm saying. I feel like when it comes to capitalism, it's like I feel like so much black people like against, and I get it, against it when it comes to white people getting money. But why can't black people, why can't we put together like a, I'm probably going to sound real LLC Twitterish right here. Why can't we put together like, you know, we're all trying to get money and help us on, so we can have, we can give people in our family these positions.
You know what happened?
What happened?
Desegregation.
Okay, continue. Preach on that.
Because I'll talk to my grandma a lot. And she'll just tell me about, you know, when you couldn't live in certain communities because they literally didn't want you there. So that meant that you had to be more so in your own community. So what that does is that means you have your black shops. That also means there's really no separation. Like, you may be fucking Bill Russell and you may be a doctor and you may be a school teacher, but all y'all live on the same block because it's actually your community and actually where you live. I feel like a lot of times we spend so much time trying to get out for a great reason, obviously, for a great reason, because there's so many things that unfortunately do happen in our communities. But
yeah,
but at the same time, then our communities become all the lower class communities. So at that point, everything's a dog eat dog world, and everybody's trying to pull everybody down because, I mean, sometimes you don't really know no better. Resources aren't there. You aren't, you know, educated enough and things like that. And then that means the people come in and buy up everything, and then we don't even get to think, to have the thought process that we need to, you know, come in and work together because we are so worried about getting out.
And I see that. I also feel like, now I'm not saying if you're like a black person and you get on and you're not trying to, you know, put other black people in position of power. I understand why people would get upset at that. What I'm saying is, like, I feel like a black person can get, you know, get a certain amount of money, and then other black people, oh, he sold out, he did this, he did that, you know what I'm saying? And, like, look, we treat Jay-Z like Vince McMahon now. If we take away his music, a lot of black people, somebody's like, how dare he make a soundtrack for the Fred Hampton movie. Fred Hampton wouldn't even like him because he's a black capitalist. Now, granted, Fred Hampton said a lot of stuff about black capitalists. Fred Hampton was also 21.
But at the same time, like, even with movements, things don't really happen without money.
That's all I'm like, saying. Things don't happen without money. It's just like, I feel like, you know, there is sort of I feel like as long as you're helping your people out, it should be all good. Like, I don't feel like it's one thing I think people in general need to figure out about life in general. Life ain't fucking fair. There's some people who have who are put in better positions, maybe because family they live. Some people are never gonna have the opportunities. Now, I understand. I'm privileged. I'm not gonna say my parents weren't poor, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I lived in the hood for a little while, but I was mainly hood adjacent with the majority of my life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the particular block I was on wasn't bad. Walk 2 minutes down, yes. But so, you know, I've seen the shit, been around the shit, but I wasn't in it. So I understand I was afforded better opportunities, maybe some people I know. But that's just how life is, niggas. Shit's not an even playing field, is what I'm saying. What made me think about this, there's a series on FX. It's called Hip Hop Underground. It's about the drug dealers and gang members who are like finance some of these rappers. And it's pretty fucking good. A lot of shit that even I don't. I mean, we all know who the fuck Haitian Jack is. You don't know who the fuck Haitian Jack is. That nigga was the one who really got Tupac set up at Quad Studios. It wasn't Biggie, nigga. It was them Brooklyn niggas. He was like Biggie told him. You fucking around with some Brooklyn niggas, you ain't got no business dealing with them Brooklyn niggas. So that's the nigga. Like, that nigga's rap sheet so bad, that nigga's not even allowed in America.
Yeah, in America. Like, ain't he in Brazil or something?
That nigga's in the Dominican. Like, his interviews, this nigga is not on American soil. So it's on him. It's on Waka Flocka's mom, damn. I didn't know. I knew she was a tough. I know she really heavy in the, she heavy was? In them. Yeah, she heavy in them streets, bro. Like, her... She was on a block at like 9. She from 50 Hood. She's from Southside Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, shit.
Her brother, Vimy, was the third nigga in command on the Supreme team.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So when Supreme went to jail, he was the leader of the Supreme team.
Yeah.
So them niggas real heavy in the streets out here. Her godfather is a white mafia member. He's so heavy in the streets, she wouldn't even say his name on TV. She said, yeah, he's a big-time mafia guy, like a white dude who you know. But I can't say his name. Like, she's that heavy in the streets. And then there's other guy, Big U, who he's helped finance. He was behind Nipsey. He helped finance Wiz. He's like...
He helped finance Wiz?
Yeah. You know, Wiz, big
Crip. Crip, yeah.
This nigga is first generation Rolling 60s. Like, his original gang became the Rolling 60s. That's how heavy this nigga is in the street. Like, you know how Wiz used to be like, this nigga face was like, oh, yeah, he the big dog. Like, we don't do nothing without Big
laugh or nothing.
He ain't laugh. Wiz wasn't doing his trademark laugh. He said, yo, he the big dog. We don't do nothing without Big.
I gotta watch that show.
Yeah, it's two episodes out right now. It's on Hulu. And so that made me think about how they were saying, like, they got into a life of crime and selling drugs because they didn't have the opportunities. So I'm saying, like, when it comes to black capitalism, when black people get in positions of power, what do you think is expected for them, for people not to call them a black capitalist?
I mean, I think once you get to a certain point, there's no way.
What have I gotten into? What are you all niggas even talking about?
I was talking about
how black people's relationship with capitalism. Like, yeah, we hate when white people do it, but so like, what is it like when niggas get money? What are they supposed to do? Were they just supposed to get to a certain number and just not make more money no more?
I mean,
no. I just think it's a complicated relationship. I think black people truly hate the fact that we've been exploited under capitalism. So we equate capitalism with evil, and to an extent is correct in my own personal opinion. But we can also equate capitalism wasn't created by America.
Right.
Capitalism wasn't created by Britain. It's freaking French. And it's just based off a system of bartering. Jonathan has cattle that he attends to, and he uses them for beef, and I grow crops. I grow wheat, I grow okra, whatever. And I say, okay, I'll take one cow for however many pounds or whatever of okra. We're bartering. And that's simply what capitalism in its simplest is about. So in of itself, is it evil? No, but it's been implemented through white supremacy. And since it's been implemented through white supremacy, a lot of black folks have an issue with it. At the same time, there's also a portion of us that do want to be wealthy and live the lavish life. And that typically comes through some form of a capitalist system. Now, in terms of, you know, niggas getting money, I don't care what another nigga think. You know what I'm saying? I don't care.
They say eat the rich on Twitter. I can't wait till they say that about me. Eat.
Go ahead. Now, with that being said, I do despise the rich and powerful, because it seems like whenever a nigga gets a certain amount of money, he tramples on people underneath him. It's like almost inevitable. I feel like you can't.
I think that's kind of what business in general, though.
But see, that's the issue. These people you trample under, those are lives that you trample under. These are livelihoods that you do. And then that's what I have a problem with. You know what I'm saying? So me, I feel like it's impossible to get a whole bunch of money without having screwed over a lot of people. So that's why niggas hate that, you know. At the same time, I would love to be rich too. But I wouldn't want to screw over other people.
I mean, this originally came from people who got mad at Jay-Z. They said, who the fuck is Jay-Z to make a soundtrack for the Fred Hampton movie when Fred Hampton wouldn't even like Jay-Z? That's where it stemmed from.
I mean...
And like I said earlier, yeah, Fred Hampton did say a lot of stuff about black capitalists, you know, they shouldn't do this and the third, but I was also like, he was also 21. We don't know what he would have felt maybe at 30 or 35 or something like that.
So this shit is interesting because to say, well, Jay-Z shouldn't be on it, none of them niggas should be on it. You shouldn't put Nipsey on there. Nipsey was a black capitalist. What you think Nipsey was?
You shouldn't make the movie.
You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't make the movie at all, because if you're selling the movie for profit, you're selling it in a capitalist state. If this is a truly communist society where everything is collectively, the means of production are collectively owned by the people, you're not making money off any of that. So first of all, a movie about communists is hilarious in of itself. You know what I'm saying? Paradoxical in of itself, because it's about people who wanted to do the exact opposite of what you wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? So Jay-Z, whoever else was on there, G Herbo, Bump, J Nick, all of them.
Nipsey definitely was. I'm glad you said that.
Nipsey was a black capitalist, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Just because Nip had his rag out still then.
You know what I'm saying? Nip wanted to make money and he took care of his people, but he was a black capitalist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think people get too much into systems that they forget that it's the people who run the systems.
Yeah.
There are some ideologies and systems that are straight up evil. Then there are some that depends on what the person is using.
Yeah, it depends on how deep you want to go with it. I mean, we live in a capitalist society.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like all of us are in like some sense of the word. Now, I think like you said, it's about limits. Like if you want to fuck over everybody to get to where you want to get to, then I think that's a little bit dishonest and, you know, kind of like
some business is, I got to get you before you get me though.
Yeah, but I mean, nah, like even if we talk about selling drugs, like you're literally poisoning people.
Yeah, literally.
Now, yeah, you may have, you know, built up, you know, a whole bunch of people and, you know, changed a lot of people's lives, but you also destroyed a lot of people's lives as well.
And I think that's, if anybody who watches Snowfall, that's kind of what Franklin was dealing with at the end of season 3 and what he's going to be dealing with in season 4. Like, yeah, I'm making all this money, but at what cost? Like, the old girl I was fucking with, she got on some shit and now she cracked the fuck out.
What did it cost? Everything.
What did it cost? Everything. And if you notice, every drug, and when I was watching that hip-hop show, like, these niggas got all these drug dealers, which I'm pretty sure are factual. I'm not saying they not. But the older niggas get, I feel like the bigger the lies get. And I'm not saying it wasn't like that in the 80s. 80s niggas was getting money. It was really paid in full New Jack City back in the 80s. I'm not saying it wasn't. But I feel like some stuff is probably still exaggerated because I'm still here, nigga. And everybody else who was with me is either dead or in jail. So who are they to disagree with me?
I mean, it's also a TV show. Like, shit does have to be interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Society is intriguing. You know, society is intriguing because we hold contradictory views all the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga, I know people who are legitimate socialists and communists, but then niggas, as soon as something like Snowfall comes out, like you said, like, man, Frankie, my nigga, I'm like, this would be someone you should hate, nigga. What you mean?
No, the Eat the Rich compliments be so funny because, like, nigga, you watching Netflix.
Niggas got so mad at me when I said, all y'all eat the rich, but y'all got an Amazon Prime account.
No, nigga, hold on, G, this whole stock shit the other day.
Yeah,
everybody's so against you niggas is out here buying up the you participating with the whole system.
I will defend them in this instance because Amazon Prime it's become integral to society. So unless a nigga wants to be a monk, you're gonna have to have Amazon Prime.
I mean, but with anything,
you can still exist within society and also critique society. So that's not necessarily that's sort of a false equivalency to say that they can't critique it while also using the issues of society. People still want you can have theoretically, you can have all of these nice things under communism. You can have the greatest cell phone, the greatest this, the greatest that. Do I think that's probable? No, because I think competition breeds the best out of people. Unfortunately, that competition ends up stepping over poor people, which is the issue. But
all this makes me want to do is watch Wolf of Wall Street, which is like my second favorite movie ever.
And see, that's why I think once you get a certain amount of money, they should take everything. That's just me. I don't feel anybody should be a billionaire.
You know, low-key Jordan Belfort won, but that's a discussion for another day.
Why should nobody be a billionaire?
Because there are so much resources to go around. And when people hoard those resources, even if they did it fairly, even if they did it without trampling on other people.
They shouldn't have the money.
Maximize my earning potential.
I disagree.
It's not my job to
I'm someone you would consider a democratic socialist, or which sounds so
Joe, are you gonna be having these conversations with me and Pav in 10 years when we making too much money?
Well, I mean, come on now. You got to realize I'm finna be a theologian. You know what I'm saying? I might end up being a pastor as well. So I'm not someone who wants to earn a lot of money, like earn too much amount of money. Being comfortable, someone who's a millionaire, someone who's a multimillionaire, I probably cap it. Once you get past 500 million, nigga, I'm taking everything. The issue is that I don't trust the government with the money either. The government gets $4.7 trillion a year. And them niggas don't use it correctly at all.
It's just like they be like, oh, Jeff Bezos could like stop world hunger. Yeah, but
no, he could stop it for a week and then it comes back again.
But I was like, is that his job?
It's not.
Why?
That's why also kind of go back. I don't get mad. I feel like this might be controversial. I don't feel when a black person reaches a certain amount of money that it's my job to save other black people. If I want to help out, yes, for sure. I don't think it should be anybody's sole responsibility.
The nigga hating dog. Good Lord.
I just don't. I don't feel like it should be anybody's responsibility.
I feel like it's like my responsibility.
When people got mad at Michael Jordan for not endorsing that black politician.
He could endorse that nigga. He went too old. Now, hold on. Wait, real quick though. Also, good thing though, when it comes to politics, what were his policies? Did you fuck with his because if you didn't fuck with his policies,
that's also what he said. He told his mama, I don't know too much about him. But I'm also saying, like, you know how Mike gives out so much money now because Mike is in a different position to where he got too much money for niggas to really fuck with him either. In 1991 or 92, it was, he can still be dealt with.
The funny thing is, once you get a certain amount of money, niggas just give it up anyway. Like Jeff Bezos and like Bill Gates is giving away his entire, his children ain't gonna become billionaires, which is hilarious. I'd be so pissed off if I was Bill Gates' kid because Bill and Melinda Gates is giving away their money by the time they die.
I mean,
their children will have a trust fund and they will be well off,
but
they won't be as well off as pops. And if I was a rich, spoiled kid, I'd be angry. I'm like, no. You're not giving away, shut up, nigga. I'm like, you're not giving away my money, pops. You gonna get that money to me. But after a certain amount of time, like, what are you going to do with 100 and what is Elon Musk worth? I think he's technically his net worth is $200
billion.
Elon Musk
is the real Tony Stark.
Which doesn't make sense to me because Tesla's at a loss, but stocks in your, what is it? What is it? What's the stuff you call and their net worth? Assets.
Net worth and your assets.
Your assets. Your assets determine your net. Liquid in the bank, I still don't think he has more money than Jeff Bezos. That's my take.
Cool.
But I do think.
Who, Elon? Fuck no, I doubt he does.
I doubt he has enough as much as liquid money.
Nigga, when I met Jeff Bezos, I was like, this is the richest nigga on planet Earth.
You met Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, he came off. They cleared us out. If I had to come in early.
But I will say, as a
black folks, they put us in a fucking room, nigga, like the president was showing up.
As black folks, I do think it's our responsibility to take care of one another because nobody else is going to do it for us. You know what I'm saying? And for some reason, some black folks said, oh, we don't stick together. We don't do this, that. I disagree wholeheartedly. We've stuck together through plenty of times in history, but I also think we're demoralized as a people. So now our culture wants to be individualistic. And there's an issue with individualistic culture, there's an issue with collectivism. Because collectivism, who determines what's the goal or what's the correct thing?
I have a question for you.
I said this.
Not to cut you off, man, I have a question for both of y'all. Because like, we love what LeBron does off the court. But if LeBron didn't do that, will LeBron be a bad person?
No.
I don't think he'd be a bad person. I think he chooses to do that, and that's great. It's awesome that he cares about
it. I think hoarding your wealth is...
But if he didn't, I don't think he would... You wouldn't hate him.
I mean, I think hoarding wealth is a sin. That's just me.
I mean, yeah, but then there's like, does giving it away make you a good person?
Because exactly.
I'm not even necessarily into charity. Charity has its issues, too. Why rich folks love charity because charity is
taxable.
It's a tax write-off.
I'm not into charity either. I'm into actual investment into people, investment into system. Like folks were like, what I didn't understand was Jeff Bezos' wife. She gave away like $6 billion. It's like, that ain't enough. I'm like, nigga, she just got the money. You know what I'm saying? I'm congratulating that she even did that because the truth is, human beings, you don't have to do that. I still think it's wrong of them to hoard it, but it's also, I didn't also earn any of this money. So I'm in a really paradoxical state with what you should do. But I do say of black folks, us, we should be taking care of one another. If I was to become a billionaire, I would hope that I would invest that into black folks. Not charity, not like, here, nigga, you get this, you know. Because the idea that Jeff Bezos can cure world hunger is hilarious. He's only worth $100-something billion. He can cure it for a week and it's going to come right back.
Yeah, I was going to say, for a week he can cure that shit.
World hunger you have to literally put hundreds of billions of dollars into it weekly. He ain't got that type of money. The government does. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, I'm more mad at the government than I ever be at a rich person, because the government allowed the niggas to get rich.
And I agree with that.
And if you collect $4.7 trillion worth of taxes, nigga, what do you need anything from me for? You know what I'm saying? So
it's an interesting conversation. I just feel like, you know,
it's a nice
with me personally,
educated conversation we're having.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I take care of, like, my goal when I get put in a position of power is to take care of my family and my friends and my people. And then they can be put in a position to take care of their people. I just don't feel like it should be, you know, my job to just, you know.
You know, the crazy thing is you can invest in the black community and make money. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't saying you could.
If I invest in real estate.
And I'm not saying I'm not doing these things, by the way. Let's be very clear. I'm just saying I don't think it's anybody's duty to have that. I feel like if you do, it has to be for the right reason. Because, like,
Pat said, what do you think about individualism? The idea that you should be concerned with yourself and yourself alone.
I don't hate it.
I'm not like that. But I'm not mad at you.
Peace. I think it's an unfortunate way to live.
What do you think about collectivism? That you should be concerned with the collective will of society.
If that's your, like, I'm in the middle with both. I'm not about to say, oh, fuck the people around me, because that's unfair. But at the same time, I think we do live in a very individualistic society. And if you say, yo, I want to be all I can be for me and myself, I can understand why you would want to be that way. Again, I think it's an unfortunate way to live. I also think it's unfortunate if we just complete one total being, because that doesn't really work, I don't think.
I guess
because
only...
we have different agendas and come from different places, and so
You know what I'm saying? Because collectivism could be hilarious.
This is real Uncle Jeff on Rap City right now.
I know. What if, you know, white folks were the majority in society?
Yeah.
But what if they were the majority of society? The collective would be them.
And then who gets to decide the
will of the collective, and what makes the will of the collective correct? At the same time, if you're aligning with people's well-being, that's a great thing. And individualism can lead to you missing the other person. They're both really difficult. One thing Twitter will never tell you is that there's nuance. Twitter makes it seem
nuance on Twitter.
Twitter is you're either evil nigga or you're a saint. You know what I'm saying? And now one thing I will say, someone like Fred Hampton, I truly admire Fred Hampton. You know what I'm saying? At 21 to have life understood on the level he had, I think was fantastic. And the fact that he never closed his doors to other races, I think was one of the best things about him as a leader, as a Black Panther. You know, having the young patriots and the young lords and gangs on the South and West side, that's why they killed the niggas. You know what I'm saying? That's something.
You know what's crazy about that? What drove white people saying the fact that Black kids were getting free lunch? That's what drove them off the fucking edge. And what a lot of people know, that the Black Panthers is the reason that there's even free lunch right now in schools to begin with.
Free lunch program. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think Al wrote a very good piece. Al Patron.
Yeah, shout out to man, Al.
Shout out to homie. That's like a big brother to me. I talk to him often about these things, and he wrote a really good piece about how he never wants to watch that film again. And I'm like, nigga, I ain't never watched
it. I don't want to watch it either. I thought it was a great movie.
He said he's put it up there with Fruitvale Station. I'm never watching it again. I'm like, you're right, nigga.
I've never seen Fruitvale. I'm never going to watch it.
That just angered me. Yeah. But he said he's going to look at Lakeith Stanfield different. I'm like, yeah, nigga.
I looked at Lakeith different.
Acted just like that, nigga.
I looked at Lakeith different when we was in club with that nigga a year ago, and that nigga had on a dress. I tapped Pat like, nigga, what this nigga got on?
He ain't having no dress, bro.
Yes, the fuck he did. This nigga had a dress under a vest, bro.
Is that a problem, brother?
It was probably like a fucking dashiki.
No.
Was that a problem?
It was a dress. Because first
that's
I saw
Scott, that's a problem.
And then when we was in our
Scott, that's a problem. Scott, that's a problem.
And we was in our section.
Scott, that's a problem.
He came into the
Scott,
section.
That's a problem. Why's the problem? What's the problem?
You're not getting me caught up here, sir.
Exactly. No, I'm trying to help you, my nigga.
I can tell you what you were saying.
No, it's just, I don't even remember what my point was. I'm pretty sure.
You talking about how you said Al looked at him different.
I don't really want to see movies that would make me that mad. I don't think I need to see.
I think Al called it, he said it's Black trauma porn. You know what I'm saying?
I hate this, because it is. Every single thing that like gets put out from Black people has to be a struggling getting shot. Why we can't
do
just
you
be
understand
happy?
That's a big chunk of
but
our
I, thank you. I'm about to say a lot
that's
of our
the
history
hardest thing for us to
is
realize
trauma.
The majority of our history is traumatic.
This is true. This is true.
Shows like Black-ish, there's episodes where niggas they have to deal with the trauma. That's fair. Black folks have not had a break in 450 something years.
The reason why,
and African Americans specifically, well, of course, I'm not some toy, but what is them group of niggas called who don't want Africans who immigrated here to get the same rights that we have? I forgot what the niggas are called.
No, it's not Dr. Umar. It's the foundational black
American? Foundational black something or descendant of an African slave or something like that. DOS. Yeah. I'm not one of them niggas, but I will say that the experience of African Americans,
I 1000% agree.
Yeah, collectively has been traumatic. Like when I talked to my professor, Dr. Tianu, who hails from Nigeria, his experience with racism is a lot different. There were power structures within his own country, but he really didn't come face to face with them. He just saw the effects of him and the people. Well, and I don't know what it is. And for him, it was a culture shock to not be around nothing but black folks 24/7. I'm like, nigga, what?
I would also
be around black folks often. For me to be around white folks is sort of, I'm used to it.
I would also argue we are the ones who have fought back on racism for our entire existence.
African folks have too, but it's just in a different way.
We need to make a list of the top five black non-trauma black people. You know why I love The Woods so much? It's a story about black friendship where nobody gets killed.
True. I mean, yeah, fair.
But there's not one. I think the hardest issue with black folks to deal with now is that, oh, I want something that just tells the story of black folks with no trauma. Our whole existence
is trauma. Our whole history is trauma.
I mean, but also same time, like even me going back on my statement, I mean, I don't think it's bad to watch things just to just educate. You know, you don't know where you're going until you know where you came from. So at the same time, I don't think it's bad. I mean, I think it's probably, I mean, shit, what he died,
1969? 1969. 60s, the wildest decade in history. Man, this is hot, bro. Pam, watch that documentary on HBO Max about the 60s.
I think the only thing that makes me upset is the fact that FBI and Chicago police got away with it. Mayor, you know, Big Boss Daley, this nigga just got away with it. Like now they say, oh yeah, they planned his assassination. I'm like, are you going to put these niggas in jail who did it? Are you going to find every cop who was in that raid and put them in jail? Oh, they old. I don't give a shit, nigga. I would want
opening scene. That nigga, J. Edgar Hoover said, we don't need the rise of another black messiah.
And the funniest thing is J. Edgar Hoover like would crack down on gay groups. Nigga was gay himself.
Yeah, who was a different human.
An evil being.
Was a different.
Was an evil, the evil being who's resided in hell. There's no way a nigga's not in
he's
hell.
A different human being.
Yeah, he's a big pack. He's a
different human being.
Smoking that Jagger Hoover pack.
One thing about that movie though, I thought it was a great movie. I give Daniel, how you pronounce the nigga last name?
I wonder what Daniel Kaluuya would be.
Kaluuya and give Lakeith.
Best supporting
actor?
No,
he's
actually
supporting actor because the main
Lakeith actor. Lakeith Stanfield is.
Yeah. For everybody out there, the name of the movie is Judas and the Black Messiah. Everybody got mad like
to realize this is a William O'Neill movie.
Yeah.
Featuring Fred Hampton. And I think the funny thing is, why do we have to see about the trauma with Fred Hampton? Because his life was involving the Black struggle. And what is our struggle? Is trauma. Now, I think what I realize now, these movies are for white people first and foremost. And
not that for sure.
And they're made to educate white people. Like when people talk about this, like, man, one of my homies said, this happened to Fred Hampton. I was like, in my head, I'm like, what you mean this happened to Fred Hampton?
It's for black people too. Some niggas don't know.
A lot of niggas don't know too.
A lot of niggas don't know.
2021, bro.
Joe, would we have known this stuff without like our parents and our grandmother? Let's be real. How much black history did they have to carry? They talked to us about
MLK,
three people.
Dr. King had a dream. MLK got popped, nigga.
Yeah, MLK got popped. Rosa Parks and JFK like niggas. That's all we learned in high school. They didn't talk about Malcolm X. I had the wrong view of Malcolm X for the longest time.
I thought this nigga was a problem. No. Yeah.
Then looked up online. I was like, damn, this is not what I was taught.
Malcolm X and Martin Luther King represented two sides of the same coin with very effective strategies. They were just very different strategies.
Yeah. Like, and they didn't dislike each other.
No. And the funniest thing is that, like, you can listen to Malcolm X because he would say, I disagree with, you know, Dr. King. He's just going to get himself popped. But I still love the brother. You know what I'm saying? The funniest thing is that white folks, if there's one thing about the NOI, man, Niggas ain't, I ain't never seen white folks run up on the NOI, bro. I don't know what them niggas got, bro, but the niggas do not run up on Minister Farrakhan, and it's hilarious.
But no, but apparently, didn't like Dr. King had like a whole bunch of guns stacked up and shit too, like just in case.
Dr. King wasn't no pussy. Let's not
If Dr. King was in Memphis with the Fruit of Islam, the nigga would been alive. That's another story.
Apparently, what happened was I think the thought process of it was King and them adapted non-violence because they was like, if you try to do what they doing in the North, you can get everybody slaughtered because this is the South.
I don't think he thought that. I think because his religion is the reason that he didn't do it. But you know how many liberation theology is a theology about, you know, the Bible speaks about liberating people who are poor and downtrodden, blah, blah, blah. But you know how many priests in South America were revolutionary guerrilla fighters? The niggas who thought that they had to go to war. So I don't buy any of that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have no choice but to go to war.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I know, like, that's why one thing I did during this summer was I did like a lot of, you know, when we was people was bombing CNN or not bombing, you know, I was doing my more Black History shit. And I was just like, I didn't know Stokely Carmichael was down with Dr. King at first. There's so much shit that I didn't know. Remember, I told you to watch that Panther documentary that I think if you haven't watched it, what's the name of Black Panther? Vanguard?
Vanguard. Like when Dr. King died, Black Panthers was just, what did they say? They said the nigga was our champion.
Yeah.
They said he was our hero. He's like, and once you kill him, we ain't negotiating no more.
Yep. That's what happened.
There's a lie on Twitter that act like niggas who wanted to do violent means or more revolutionary means didn't like Dr. King. It's a fucking lie. Niggas love Dr. King. Because they realized to do what he did took hella strength. It's another story. I've enjoyed this.
We've been history real cousin Jeff on Rap City right now. I want to switch it to when we was talking about music. Five rap albums, but like five albums that like you can look back and like, oh, these five albums literally changed my life.
I'm gonna list mine because I gotta get off and finish this paper.
Okay.
Five albums that changed my life. Reasonable Doubt, Illmatic, College Dropout.
Okay.
The Good Kid, Mad City. And what you call it? Food and Liquor.
Solid list.
You got yours?
I'd probably say Get Rich or Die Trying, because that was my first, my first big rap superstar. I would say Reasonable Doubt, because I just remember just walking up and down the hallways in school, just playing Reasonable Doubt, like, yo, I got to rap. 808s and Heartbreak, because I remember it came out. Huh?
I said, I am out, you all.
All right. 808s and Heartbreak, because it came out literally like when I was in high school. I think I broke up with my like high school girlfriend, and it came out the week after. So like niggas was sad. 808s came out. I would say after that, I would probably say mostly I'm also naming albums where it's like I was there.
Okay.
Like,
that's what I was talking about.
There. Watch the Throne. For one, that's one of the best concerts I just ever went to. And also, I feel like it was spawned like kind of like a new era of music too, as well. And I just remember even like just sonically, like hearing Ham at that point in time, I was like, I want to do all opera stuff and stuff like that.
Wait, when you remember one time you told DC, I want you to epic it out?
Yeah, epic it out. Like that's just, but all that came from just Watch the Throne and just hearing what music could be. Would I do that stuff now? No, I think less is more, but just from in that time period, just hearing what music could be. And then I'll probably say Love Deluxe by Sade. Reason I would say Love Deluxe by Sade is because I remember my dad would play it all the time, driving like back and forth to like Detroit. So it reminds me of like my childhood and, you know, going to see my cousins on like those long 4-hour drives. He played Love Deluxe the whole way. So I'll probably say those five albums. Get Rich or Die Trying, Reasonable Doubt, 808s and Heartbreak, Watch the Throne, and Love Deluxe.
I'm gonna say the first two, Blueprint and Eminem Show. And the reason both of these two is because those are like the first two albums that I like legit owned. Like, cause what happened was like, I remember I let one of my friends like see my Dynasty CD and the nigga lost my shit. So like he gave me Blueprint and Eminem Show. And those like two albums that I literally listened to like nothing but them two shits for like 6 months, nigga. Like doing the only two albums I had. So I just like listened to fuck out. When I heard them albums, I was like, I knew for a fact I want to do something to music when that came out. So this had to be like 2002, something like that. Mm-hmm. So those two, I'd say Thriller, because that's the first actual music I remember listening to, like at all. Because my mom was a huge fucking Michael Jackson fan. Like she has the original Thriller vinyl at the crib right now, and she won't let me have it. Like the original nigga from 1983. She went to the store to buy that motherfucker. So she, that'd be Mike. I put that in number three. The other two, I'll probably have to say Div Mag Immunity, because that was like the first rap double disc I remember listening to. And I was like, damn, these niggas, just three niggas just going off like two straight albums. Like, I remember Uncosta telling that nigga, to that nigga Dane, we got another joint, man. I was like, man, I ain't never heard niggas rap on like 30 songs. And like almost damn near all these shits be cold. So I put that for number four. And for five, I probably have to say, even though I was only like six when this album came out, but Ready to Die, only because that's the first album I remember hearing like legit storytelling. To where like you can listen to the album and you like, oh shit, it's like this nigga's telling like a movie, the lyrics. And so I was a huge Big fan in high school. When I got out of high school, I became a way bigger Pac fan. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Biggie's way better lyrically than Tupac, but I just feel like Tupac, it's a little bit more believable. Like, I believe what Pac is saying more than Big.
You also like West Coast music more.
Yeah, that too. But Pac, outside of All Eyes on Me, Pac don't really have no West Coast sound in music. A lot of his shit is still kind of East Coast sound. Oh man, but I won't say that because Me Against the World sounds real Oakland, but it's not like the typical LA type music until you get to All Eyes on Me.
Yeah.
So that would be my five right there, as far as, you know, that's, I want to talk to somebody who's like 22 right now and like see what albums change their life. And that's an interesting thing, because I've gone to the point where I don't call current music trash anymore. I've elevated from that. It's just not for me. So I don't know what these kids are feeling.
I mean, I still listen to a lot of it. I mean, because for one, I mean,
I listen to the new R&B cats. I listen to them niggas. But
see, I listen to more so older R&B.
Like, I mean, 87 to 90% of the time I listen to old R&B, but it's still like, I feel like all the women R&B are like incredible. I think they're bodying everybody. SZA, her still need to put an album out. I don't know what the fuck she's playing. Snow, of course. Those, like, you know, there's some dudes, Lucky Day I fuck with, Brent Fires I fuck with. I still think BJ's not a new guy, but I still listen to BJ's album. So those like the current crop R&B people I listen to, but mainly I'm still listening to 90s and early 2000s R&B.
Fair. I mean, I still listen to new hip hop when it drops, but I mean, that's just me, just to keep up with the times and listen to it and just, you know, but I still listen to it. But I would, yeah, because I agree. I think that, and also just to see where people are having these moments to this music now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like where you know, like, again, I love the song I'm On One. It's a classic record we were talking about earlier, but I remember the day that
I remember dropped. Where I was at.
I remember what I did that weekend, and I remember that being the soundtrack to that whole. I think that's the most interesting part about music, is just and I think that's what makes a lot of music classic. It's just, you know, the life you live to it.
Yeah.
So like, you may have, for instance, Plies a Real Testament. Niggas can't tell me it's not a classic.
Yeah, you were telling us about that shit album. When that shit came out. Right.
But like, that's just what I was. I remember, like, I had the ringtone. If a girl I like called me, the ringtone was Shorty. So it's like stuff like that just replays in my mind, those type of moments I was having to the music. So I also think that would be interesting, just having somebody younger on, and just, you're like, yo, what type of moments are you having to listen? What happened?
Especially with a pandemic, it's not too much to do to have moments to these shit. So I think the music in general, like, well, I don't really get in like music debates anymore, because who am I to tell you what one album meant to you? Like, just because Ready to Die meant a lot to you, that might, I'm pretty sure Ready to Die don't mean shit to a nigga who's like 24. So I'll be real, like, niggas who like a generation before me, nigga, I don't give a fuck about Rakim and Eric B was talking about in the 80s. I just don't care. I respect what they did. I respect they're the pioneers. Like, somebody's, oh, well, now somebody said this on Twitter that I thought was interesting. It was like, because, you know, there's a new Biggie documentary on March 1st on Netflix. One that's actually put together by his mama and shit like that. And by the way, I know Biggie and Tupac story so good, I can give it to you word for word like I grew up with them niggas. So he was like, why we keep getting Biggie and Tupac documentaries and not like other guys like Dre, Hov, and now? I'm like, well, Dre had to find ones. Nas had a documentary about Illmatic on Apple TV. You know Jay's not doing one till he's ready, and that's probably going to be somehow involved with Tidal. I was like, I love Snoop. I'm not going to run the TV watch Snoop documentary, like, because I feel like Snoop's still kind of like doing his thing.
Yeah, the story's
not finished yet.
It's not finished. And you know what I'm saying? Also, I was excited. Like, what's the last Biggie documentary that we've had?
I don't think we got any Biggie content in over a decade.
Like, I feel like the last Biggie thing I remember was Notorious. The movie Notorious.
Yeah, that was 2009.
Yeah, like when I think it's actually probably time for a new Biggie documentary.
Yeah, and this one looks like it has actual on stage footage. If you look at all the Biggie, you rarely see that much on stage Biggie footage. Like,
yeah,
you know, like I want to see more footage of Biggie talking to what you got as somebody who's 32 now to understand what him and Pac are going through. Like, they were 24 and 25 years old. Like, think about mentally where you were at 24 and 25. Like, people want to, oh, Pac was tripping. Pac literally turned 25, 4 months before he got killed? And not only that, the nigga spent like a year and a half in jail. His mama's a Black Panther. Tupac was actually born in a fucking prison. His mama was in jail when the nigga was born. So if you look through all the shit that nigga's been through, at that age, you get all this money, and he was in mad debt. Like, I even said when he signed with Death Row, because they had this is an article, I think it was on The Ringer, about, because All Eyes on Me just hit the 25-year anniversary, about the process that went into the album. He knew that, oh, I made a deal with the devil, but it was either do that or stay in jail till 1999. Because he wasn't scheduled to get out till 1999. It was 4 years since. So another reason why he was the first rapper to do a double disc, because he signed a 3-album deal. So that was going to be that. Machiavelli, I'm out my deal. That's what it was. So when you look at that, Tupac and Biggie have lives where it's like it sounds like some movie shit. So it's always going to be, you know, entertaining and profitable to newer generations. Like, there's kids who know about Biggie and Pac who probably can't name 5 of their songs, but you know what it's still. We all know about the East Coast, West Coast beat. And, you know, us living in LA, we pretty much know. We know everything. We all know who killed Tupac. We all know who killed Biggie.
Yo, it's crazy. Like, people still, Biggie's a little more complicated than Pac.
Biggie's a little more complicated than Pac,
Pac's murder is very, it's really cut.
It's some street shit.
It's literally fucked up, but it's really just some like street shit. It's like, there's still people who have no idea about, I'm like, bro, all the information's out there.
Biggie's just got to talk to the right people.
Yeah, Biggie's a little more complicated. It's also the police probably
had something. Police were involved.
So it's like, that's why ain't nobody really know who the killer is, because
I think the Biggie death had more to do with East Coast, West Coast. The Pac death ain't had no to do. Pac was just fucking with the wrong niggas. Like, nobody told you you'll stump out of Southside Crip.
Who was a known murderer. A known murderer. Like, you want like you stumped a murderer out.
Like, he's after going Tupac's to murder you. Death, a lot of people don't know. Like, you know, in LA, what's that thing where they have like what happened after when Nipsey got died? When niggas was killing
a gang war.
Yeah, like it was like a 25 60 days, 60 nights, 60 days. Like, because niggas was tripping when after Nip got killed. But when nigga, that was killings for like 2 weeks after Pac got killed in Compton.
Yeah.
And then this shit.
And then the nigga who killed Pac and got killed two years later at a
He got killed 2 years later.
At a car wash. Yeah.
Yep. But so it's like all that stuff is still entertaining. And whether you listen to the music or not, that's always gonna be more entertaining than somebody who's still in the game right now. Hov is still in the game. Snoop is still in the game. You know what I'm saying? Nas is still in the game, but you know, I don't feel like Nas' story is that interesting. I'm not just saying that just because I'm not a Nas fan, but is Nas' story really that interesting to you? Outside of Illmatic.
And also, Nas has a documentary, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, he had an Illmatic documentary.
Yeah,
on Apple.
Yeah.
And we know Dre's story with Defiant Ones. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Defiant Ones I've seen so many fucking times. You know,
I guess the only one at this point, maybe Eminem. You think maybe Eminem could get a doc?
He could, but you know, people try to act like they didn't like Eminem. That's one of the awesome. Niggas love acting like they didn't listen to Eminem. That's the nigga. I've heard niggas in the hood play Eminem. That's the everybody biggest was playing load Eminem, of bull. I see. Oh, I ain't never stepped in a car with nigga. Yeah, okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
2000, nigga. 2001, everybody was playing. It wasn't just white boys. Now, I had multiple conversations. Oh, Eminem, that nigga. Now, I'm not listening to nothing past 2002 with that nigga. But I'm gonna put 8 Mile drop. Let's not sit and act like niggas ain't run to the movie.
I remember when the Relapse dropped. That was my last day of high school. I literally zoomed through my test so I could go by Relapse.
I hated Relapse, but Relapse was definitely decent. It was hype for Relapse. I hated that because he was peeled the fuck out with Relapse. Like, that nigga was tripping.
I low key like Relapse better than Recovery though.
Recovery was a really very good body of work.
At the time. At the time, it was a good
body of work. It sounds dated as shit right
nigga,
now.
Nigga, I'm not playing Cinderella Man in 2021.
I didn't
nigga.
Play Cinderella Man. You know, I listened to the other night. I saw a video. You know how sometimes you just watch a video on YouTube. You're like, oh, damn, I ain't seen this video in a long time. Love the Way You Lie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great hook, but Eminem was just wild angry on them verses. Like
you calm down, bro.
Like,
also, there was a certain sound to the early 2010s.
Yeah.
Like, it's that record, the Airplanes record with
Hello, Good Morning.
Hello, good. Like, there's a certain sound to the early 2010s.
You can tell it's the early part of the decade.
Facts. The Coming Home record with Last Train to Paris, the Coming Home joint.
Oh, yeah.
It's like just stuck in that. That was when niggas first started doing stadiums.
Stadium so status.
Like, yeah, we want to make stadium music. It's out of
death. Only few niggas can do.
That damn near really only Jay and
I love Jay. Jay can't do stadium by himself.
Yeah,
no. Every time Jay do a stadium, he would Beyonce or Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, we would Beyonce. He can't do a stadium by himself.
Jay can't do a stadium by himself. And, you know what's unique about Jay-Z? Jay-Z's the first artist to go pop without going pop. Like, Jay-Z ain't got a lot of number one singles. I think he only got like two.
Yeah, but even with number one singles now, like, a lot of niggas got number one singles now because streaming this shit funny numbers now.
Yes,
this
thank you. Fucking and that's why I say when now. People talk about, like, I never look at SoundScan anymore. What does that mean?
I look at it because, like, I think it is somewhat of an accurate barometer of what's hot, but at the same time, shit can go straight to number one and then go down to 90 because nobody listened to it.
Or you just had a big single, like Views did hella numbers because Hotline Bling came out a year before the fucking album came out.
This is true.
Like, literally, I remember this point where only you could, where music wasn't on both streaming platforms. It was either Apple or Tidal, which is hella trash.
Streaming wars. It was like a year going streaming
on.
Wars.
Streaming wars is going on right now in movie and TV right now. Like, if you pay attention to streaming wars with this, it's like very interesting, like what's going on with HBO. Like, Netflix is never gonna go away because Netflix kind of me is kind of like Facebook now, where it's like this is a brand name. Like, if you go on Facebook, it's mainly aunties and shit, but it's Facebook. That Facebook owns Instagram. Facebook's not going anywhere. So yeah, Netflix might be getting bodied by HBO Max and Disney Plus and Hulu content wise. But there's aunties and grandmas or people who don't know that much. They just, I'm just going to Netflix because they think Netflix got everything. But if you watch movies, you know, going to Netflix for some new shit is like looking in the refrigerator and you know you ain't going grocery shopping. Like, there's nothing in there, my nigga.
I don't know.
Yeah, if you want, like, if for me, if I'm looking for content, I go to HBO Max. Got so many fucking movies that it's not even fucking crazy.
Nah, I've because my homegirl left her thing on mine. I think I watched Sex in the City. I watched Wonder Woman. I did actually watch
HBO has the greatest catalog ever. Like, even if you look at the top 10 shows list of all time, at least five of them shits were on HBO.
I can believe it. I mean, because didn't HBO really start for that?
It started. Yeah, Sopranos is the single most important series of the last 21 years. Sopranos, the show that ushered us from the sitcom era to dramatize 1 hour TV shows.
I believe it.
Because in the 90s, it was number Fresh Prince, Martin, Seinfeld, Friends. That's all that shit was during the 90s. You know what I'm saying? During the 80s, it was Cheers, Cosby Show, shit like that. Once you got
Cosby, I thought Cosby was like 70s. Cosby's
80s. No, Cosby's 80s. No. Okay. Bill Cosby was some other TV show in the 70s. Cosby's, I think, is the longest running black sitcom ever. Cosby's on like 8 or 9 seasons. Niggas don't get more than 5 seasons. If you look at most black sitcoms, I think there's Cosby's, Fresh Prince had like 6, and you know, Martin could have went longer, but Martin was wild. And the season 5 never happened. That shit ended after season 4 in my mind. But so like once Sopranos came out, and that's when HBO started getting this. So Sopranos and Oz. Oz was another big show too, when niggas was like, what the fuck? Like, we can, like, I never, you know, people like to, you know, fantasize about 90s music. I never fantasized about 90s TV. I feel like we're in the golden age of television right now.
That's fair.
Everything looks like a fucking movie. Just quality wise, even like Falcon and Winter Soldier has a $150 million budget. That's a studio budget right there.
I hate that shit so much. It's so time consuming to sit there and watch them damn TV
shows. It's really not. You just don't like watching TV shows.
Nah, it's just like, you gotta, number one, you gotta wait for it to come out, which I get it, and building up.
That's normal TV shit.
You gotta like wait for it to come out. Then you gotta take, but I do understand if I'm like a writer, I get to write more in, whereas in a movie, I get 3 hours to max, really 2 hours probably more so anything to tell my whole story. If I'm doing a TV show, I could get a little bit more detailed, develop characters probably more than I can in a movie.
But so let's not get twisted. The big characters are still going to get their own movies. Like Marvel's doing these TV shows for the characters that they don't think can sell a movie by themselves.
Fair.
You're not running to the movies to see a Falcon Winter Soldier 2.5 hour movie.
I could definitely run to Winter Soldier.
I mean, see that. I would, because look, Marvel can sell me shit and I'm going to go pay
1,000%
for it.
1,000% we'll go to the
movie. But I'm just saying, like, when I say about people who aren't Marvel headheads, if it's Avengers, all you need to, that's a brand name. Oh, I'm going, it's Robert Downey Jr., nigga. I'm going. Just, you ain't got to be. How many people saw Infinity War who didn't see nothing else?
A lot of people. Like, if you weren't around for Infinity War, and it may even be hard to even explain to somebody who wasn't there, but if you wasn't there when Infinity War dropped, like, that shit was different.
It was the biggest movie release.
I could believe it ever,
all time. And then it got topped. The next year, Endgame became the biggest movie release. Like, this shit was bodying them shits. Like, so this is the point where, this is why I don't get the Black Widow shit, because it's like, Black Widow's not doing Captain Marvel numbers. She's just not. You might as well throw that shit on Disney.
Now granted, it is still a little bit after the little female wave, but I feel like they're still trying to compete with, like, you know, the Wonder Woman's and the...
But Wonder Woman flopped. That's the thing. That's why they don't want to do it, because Wonder Woman and Tenet low-key flopped by industry standards. But the problem that Marvel has is this. Their stories are interconnected. So you got WandaVision about to wrap up in 3 weeks. You got Falcon Winter Soldier. You got Loki. We got to eventually drop that shit, nigga, because by the time the fall comes, you getting ready for the next... Spider-Man movie, nobody gonna give a fuck.
Makes sense.
Because Spider-Man's here, nigga.
What is a flop in terms of, like, now, as far as, like, streaming? Like, how do you know?
Let me see how much.
What makes it a flop?
Let me see how much. Well, for Marvel, anything under...
What, 100 million?
For Marvel? It depends. Like, there's different levels. There's Avengers level numbers, and then there's Ant-Man. Like, Ant-Man's not doing a Billy, but Ant-Man will give you a 700-800.
Gee, if niggas gave Ant-Man a movie, you can give Falcon and Winter Soldier a movie, G.
Ant-Man's a bigger character.
How, G?
Ant-Man's a bigger standalone character. Nigga. And also Paul Rudd, people like Paul Rudd, you know, Michael Douglas, that's a bigger star-studded cast.
Who the other nigga in Falcon and Winter Soldier now? Oh, them
Sebastian
niggas,
Stan. Nobody knows that nigga outside of Winter Soldier.
I mean, yeah, but that's who that nigga is, and I feel like you can sell Winter, because Winter Soldier, in my humble opinion, is still arguably the best Marvel movie.
Oh, it's probably the best one.
That shit is
still. Yeah, Wonder Woman 84 did 28.5 million. That's terrible.
Okay, that's disgusting. That's nasty terrible. Numbers.
And I'm
that's
pretty sure number. Warner spent a lot of money.
Probably like $200 million on it.
Yeah, so that's what Marvel was worried about. But I can understand if it's like a big name. Like, I just don't think that movie is going to do that much. Like, to me, that's like a lower tier one, to the point where you might as well just put it out there. Because once you get close to the fall, once the fourth quarter come, close your whole summer. Spider-Man 3 going to crush everything. So you might as well tuck your whole winter in. Spider-Man crush it down the buildings, bro. You know what I'm saying? That you might as well, any movie you got, push that shit back. That shit's going to kill niggas. So you might as well get that shit out now.
But no, if they could sell Ant-Man, they could sell it. I mean, she's been every single...
I think she's been in the most movie after Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, so like, you can definitely sell that. It's like time for her to hit the big screen. Now, the thing about it is, the niggas going to be going back to the movie theaters. That's a whole nother way.
They're waiting for L.A. and New York to open up. Because only 40% of movie theaters are open. They're waiting for L.A. and New York to open, which makes I think sense. They're going to open up soon. Like, I think they're going to push it back to like probably July or some shit like that.
Makes
so
sense.
They can wait for more people to get vaccinated. I'm just being impatient because it's not a movie that I'm like on my top. Like, I just like, just put this shit out so I can fucking see it. Like,
I mean, they drop a Marvel movie. I watch all Marvel movies.
But see, Marvel is doing like 4 movies a year now with the TV show. I think we get like 10 Marvel projects in general this year.
That's crazy.
And considering we went a year and a half with no Marvel content, nigga, inject
somebody I'm raking in though right now. Nigga.
Like, this nigga, I keep saying, Disney, hire me. I don't care what y'all want me to do, hire me, nigga. Like, do not fuck up the Disney band. Like, this chick who's on the Mandalorian show just had to get her Trump takes off.
And she got fired.
Oh, nigga, they kicked off the show. They was going to do a spinoff of a character. They canceled that shit.
What was she saying?
She said that Republicans are treated like people who were like Jews during the Holocaust, some shit like
okay,
that.
Okay, see, why you go there? Why you had to do that?
Anytime,
you,
never
you could have said, never bring up the Jews.
The Holocaust of the
don't
Jews.
Don't ever do that, G. Why, see, why would you do that?
And Disney's like, oh, word, nigga? Bet.
Don't ever mention, if you ever want to get canceled quick, bring up the Jews.
Yes, exactly.
Jews and gays. If you bring up Jews and gays, you are out of here instantly. Why would
there's
you do
two
that?
Bags you don't want to fuck up. There's a Disney bag and an HBO bag. HBO recycles the same niggas for like 20 years. Anybody you just seen The Sopranos, they done been in Entourage. You done seen them niggas in Sex and the City. You just they do that. Disney, Chris Evans went from being Captain America, now this nigga's Buzz Lightyear. You don't understand how much money this nigga is making. You understand, like, double fuck it up, bro. Robert Downey Jr. don't have to do nothing for the rest of his fucking life. Yeah, and nigga made $15 million for 3 days of work on the first Spider-Man. He made $5 million a fucking day. 13 years ago, you couldn't get this nigga on a fucking straight-to-DVD movie. Like, I don't think people understand. I remember the first time I ever saw the Iron Man trailer. And, of course, I wasn't a fan, but I was just like, Robert Downey Jr., this nigga getting jobs? Like, Robert Downey Jr. was a punchline, nigga.
I didn't even know who he was. Like, I got introduced Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr. and Rob Lowe were doing big dope in the 80s and 90s.
I mean, I read their stories. So like, I know, but I got
introduced. There's a Moesha episode. These niggas got pulled over, and she told the LAPD, why are you treating us like we Robert Downey Jr.?
I am crying.
And this is 1997.
All-time redemption story.
All, nigga, all-time. Only white people can pull that off. Niggas can't pull off a redemption story like that.
Only Tiger got close.
Who?
Tiger got close. He won again.
Tiger's not really. Look, Tiger, have you watched the documentary yet?
Yeah, but he's not. No, I haven't. But I know. He's not one of us.
Tiger's not one of us. And then if you, and like, and I remember when I was, I'm the only reason I know Tiger Woods, I knew Tiger Woods because my grandma was so mad at this nigga when he went on Oprah and he said he's a Kablasian. She was so mad at this nigga, bro.
A Kablasian.
Like Oprah asked this nigga, word for word, do you get offended when they call you black? And this nigga said, yeah. And Oprah looked at him like, this nigga serious? And he was like, yeah, you know, he said he named all different races. I'm like, Kablasian.
That's the thing about mixed race people, though. It's like, sometimes I, and it's like, should we be mad at him for recognizing the other shit that's inside of him?
I'm not mad at him, but at the end of the day, you a nigga. You saw what happened when he got all peeled out and ran his car into a fucking pole. He was a nigga then.
Yes, I did. But like, should we be mad at him, G, for that?
I'm mad at people who don't understand that they black, bro. Your daddy is black, you black. And I'm not saying that you not bring up your Asian mother's past. I mean, her family. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying exclude your other races. I'm not saying that at all. But you still a black man. You know what I'm saying?
Fair.
Prime example. The Rock daddy is black. His mama is Samoan. You don't ever see him say, I'm not a black man. Like Kevin Hart said, this nigga says nigga on the set. Like, first of all, I would pay to hear the Rock saying nigga.
I need to hear the Rock saying
nigga. So you can, that's what I'm saying. You can, man, if you blatantly go on TV and say you're not a black man, and think about black people, we rally behind our people. There's two niggas who we rally behind who we had no business rally behind. Tiger OJ. And OJ. We had no business rally behind these niggas.
See, OJ was a win for the community. It really wasn't so much about OJ.
It was about the
niggas,
system.
Niggas just
niggas got a dub.
Niggas just needed that W.
Niggas got a dub. Only reason his dumbass went to jail because he a fucking dumbass. You go to jail for stealing your own shit.
And then get put in jail for 10 years. Nigga, that wasn't even you. They just gave you fuck you time.
I want to see who's going to be the first media company to have enough balls to give OJ a fantasy podcast. Because people forget, even though OJ is a murderer, this nigga knows his football. He's like, if you one. Take if you take fantasy advice from OJ, you're probably going to win your league.
He's also one of the most, if you're like 60, he's one of the most famous people on earth.
Oh, nigga.
Actually, whatever. If you,
that's people who know OJ is who don't know this nigga play football.
Facts.
Like, it was so funny when they did the NFL Network top 100 players and they got to like, OJ, this nigga Chris Collinsworth said, well, we're talking on the field. He's one of the most spectacular running backs I've ever seen in my life.
He is, even though nigga only had like 3 1,000 yard seasons, but it was the 70s.
Yeah, in the 70s, that's incredible.
70s, so niggas did like, play 14 games and shit, so you know, it's all love.
It was like, with black, like, they just need, like, Drake. You don't ever hear Drake say he not black? That's Drake fair. Is actually a triple threat. Like he has a cheat code. You can say
Drake picks what bag he wants to go in at certain times.
Somebody had a good point. Drake could never get a song on a Black Messiah soundtrack. You're not buying that from Drake.
Yeah, no way.
There's only two niggas who can put that soundtrack together, TDE and Roc Nation. Nobody else.
It's true. Yes.
Nobody
yes.
else.
Yes.
Drake. You would have not taken that soundtrack series if you saw Al on the back of that album. You're not. This nigga ain't faced oppression.
nigga, you are from Canada.
I don't think the niggas ever had handcuffs put on him before. And that's fine. I'm not saying that's a badge of honor.
You said, I don't think that nigga had handcuffs put on him before.
Handcuffs are cold, nigga. I would not want anybody to get handcuffs
put on him. It's cold and tight.
Shit's
unnecessary.
Cold and tight.
And cold and tight demeaning.
Like, damn, nigga, what the fuck?
You do not own anything that happens to you once you have handcuffs on, nigga.
You are not a man.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that you have to do that, but he low-key got the best one world. He can say nigga, he can do nigga shit, and he got an amazing team of lawyers with him.
Facts.
He can do shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and everyone's, yeah, I'm not going to get it. That's probably I'm going to stay where I'm at. So we can wrap this up, man. We'll be back this week for Summer Sessions. OT, we have the whole crew back as usual, man. You know where to follow us at. You can follow me at Barbershop Scott on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Young Pat Vito at Pavy World on Twitter and Instagram. Go to pavverbs.com right now. Keep streaming Letter My Exes. Keep streaming Soft Lips. Songs by Women coming very, very soon. Follow Flows at Flows Annalini on Twitter and Instagram. Even though Damian's not him, give him a follow. I'm _ Velvet Jones on Twitter and Instagram. Man, that nigga had him a real, this is for my number one last weekend. Salute to that nigga. You know what I'm saying? I salute you. I salute you, King. You know what I'm saying? We salute Black Love on this podcast.
Oh, you funny as hell.
So give him a follow, man. Patreon.com. We've been getting our Patreon subscribers been getting higher and higher each week. We appreciate y'all, man. Go to patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. Of course, we got Cinema with the Guys. We got seasons 1 and 2 The Sopranos. Every review, we're going to be reviewing season 3 for March. That's where you can find all the Summer Sessions. OT, if you're a wrestling fan, Pierce, Chris, Rob, they've got their WWE Top 25 that they update. Check that out. We have a current episode of Cinema with the Guys out here right now with me and my brother. We break down episode 6 of WandaVision. And if you're a Marvel fan, check that out. And by the way, we will be breaking down some movies. When WandaVision wraps up in 3 weeks, we're going to review Tenet. We're going to review Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is Chadwick's last performance. It's a great movie. And we're also going to break down Judas and the Black Messiah, but I'm waiting for an email back. We might have a special guest. So
fire.
We're going to wait about that. So check all that out, man. Keep supporting Barbershop Network. And we're going to holler at you guys later on this week, man. Y'all be good.